Psalm 11 on page 548 in the Church Bibles. 548. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulphur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous, he loves justice. Upright men will see his face.
May God help us to understand and to interpret this word. I wonder if you've ever been accused falsely of something you didn't do. And everyone was convinced that it was you who did this thing, and it was your fault. And all the time you know within yourself that you didn't do it, you didn't do this thing. I remember as a kid being accused by a neighbor of pouring paint on a garden fence, and paint on a garden fence, and neighbor was convinced it was me that did it. And it wasn't, as was found out later on. But I remember the feeling of injustice of heart. No matter how I protested, it was still me that had done this thing. And if you've ever been in a situation like that, of having been accused of doing something, when it's a false accusation, you'll know what it feels like to be accused falsely. You know what it feels like, and the hurt, and maybe even the anger that you feel if you get the finger pointed at you wrongly. And as we look at the Psalms, and this Psalm that Clive read for us, Psalm 11, there's a lot to do here with injustice. The psalmist feels injustice. And what I've noticed about the Psalms, the psalmist, obviously a lot of them are ascribed to David, but they're not all by David. The psalmist is very, very honest. You know, you get these people that really wear their heart on the sleeve. And if they've got something to say to you, they say it, and you know about it. And the psalmist is a bit like that. The psalmist really wears his heart on his sleeve. And he says some very, very courageous things about God that if it was you or I, we might be very hesitant to say. We might not want to say those things. And so the psalmist is really like this. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and he really says things out loud when he wants to. And you know the honesty of the psalmist. The psalmist feels injustice in Psalm 11. He senses the false accusations of the wicked. We've got this image of the wicked being people who hide in shadows and fire arrows at the good people, the upright in heart. So the psalmist is conscious of injustice. And the psalmist cries to God for justice. He looks for justice in a world where he sees so much injustice. What can he do? They're accused falsely and unjustly. But the psalmist says, in the Lord I take my refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? What's he saying here? Flee like a bird to the mountain. Saying the bird can fly off, can fly away from its problems and hide on the mountain, away from trouble. The psalmist sisters, we don't need to do that. If we've been accused falsely, and we know we've been accused falsely, then God is with us, and God will protect us. Psalmist claims faith that God is faithful and God will not fail those who believe. This is the assurance that the psalmist has. There is no need to run away from false accusers. There's no need to flee like a bird to the mountain. There's no need to run away. The psalmist takes refuge in God in the here and now. No matter where he goes, day or night, the psalmist is conscious of the presence of God. Even in fear, the psalmist takes refuge in God. And this is a theme that we see all the way through the Psalms, all the way through them, and in Psalm 23 that we read and sang earlier on in the service. And even in the Psalm 51, the Psalm of Repentance, the great Psalm of Repentance, the psalmist realizes what he's done wrong and that he can turn once again to God in faith and find restoration and forgiveness. There's no need to run away. There's no need to flee like a bird to the mountain. Many years ago, I knew a woman involved in a church where I was working who had some emotional problems. She was very often crying, very often upset, easily upset about anything anyone would say to her. She got very, very upset. And there came a time when she'd go into hospital for a fairly serious operation. I won't go into the details, but she had to get a fairly serious operation in hospital. And everyone in the church at the time thought, oh, no, she'll be really upset and she'll need propping up. But, you know, she wasn't, because she said to us, I'm really conscious of God's presence in my life. Somehow God, through the Spirit, had given her that faith, had changed her. And had given her the courage to go through that very serious time, an operation that she got through successfully. Somehow God's presence was clear in our lives. And maybe you've had experiences like that. I don't consider myself a very brave or courageous person. But just sometimes in life where I've been facing difficult things, I've somehow found strength through faith in Christ. Somehow the strength has been there when I needed it. And many of you will have had experiences like that. So the psalmist is saying, no need to flee like a bird to the mountain. We can take refuge in God in the here and now. Have you ever felt that you wanted to flee conflict? Run away from conflict? I know I have. Of course, there are those who seem to revel in conflict and look for every reason to create it and stir it up. Troublemakers. And we read in Acts chapter 17 and 18, won't read it just now, but you can look at it yourself in your own devotional time, Acts 17 and 18, about the early Christians and the people around them who were trying to stir up trouble and make false accusations against those early Christians. They were putting them in prison. They were causing riots. And of course, we see in our own society the people that would gladly see the end of our society as we know it. Men and indeed women of violence who would use violent means to disturb the peace and to put an end to our society and our order as we know it. Most of us don't like conflict. We try to get away from it. But the psalmist is asking, why should he run away from his false accusers? Because he can take refuge in God. The psalmist describes in verse 2 of Psalm 11 this image of the wicked using the bows to fire arrows against those who are righteous, those who are upright in heart, those who are being falsely accused. These arrows are being fired against the righteous. And there are those in our world who know what it's like to be imprisoned unjustly. We still live in a world where 2/3 of the population of our planet live under a regime which openly uses torture in order to get its way. 2/3 of the population of our world. If you want to see that figure, look it up on the internet, Google it on the internet, you'll find that's how many people live in our world under a regime which uses torture. And this means that people who are upright, people who are righteous, people who have faith, people who believe are under tremendous pressure. And yet how we've known in the history of the Christian church that where people are persecuted, when they're persecuted, what happens? Somehow the church grows under persecution. And this was the case with, if you read Psalm 17 and 18 in the early Christians and read about the history of the early church, the church grew under persecution. There is no need to flee like a bird to the mountain. We take refuge in God. And the psalmist, in verse 3 of Psalm 11, says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The psalmist is struggling in prayer almost. He's struggling because he knows that there are those in his world who would destroy foundations, who would destroy the foundations, get rid of the way his world and his society is, and even his faith. There are those who would destroy it. The psalmist says, no need to flee like a bird to the mountain. We take refuge in God. We are told in verse 4 that God is in his holy temple. The psalmist is aware of the reality of God, of God's presence. God is in the holy temple. The temple was the sacred place, the place where one could find sanctuary. I remember years ago seeing the film The Hunchback of Notre Dame, one of my favorite all-time films. And Charles Laughton, who played the hunchback in the original film, rescuing Esmeralda, whom he loves, and taking her into the church, Notre Dame. And as he does so, he shouts out, sanctuary, sanctuary. He finds sanctuary in the holy place where the people who would harm them couldn't do them any harm. So we're conscious of holy space, God's space, the space that is kept in reverence of God. And of course, we as believers come into this place and we have a reverence for this place. It's a holy place. And the word holy or holiness, if we read about its origin comes from the idea of being different. It's not really from the idea of being pious or really a holy, righteous person. It's from the idea of being different. If you're holy or something's holy, it's different. It's kept for a particular purpose. And we have this space in which we worship God. And the psalmist was aware that we have God's space. And if we flee like a bird to the mountain, then in a sense we leave the holy space. We desert it. We run off. The psalmist says, no, we wait here in the holy place and we wait for what God has to say. God's sacred space. The space, like this building, in which we worship God. And we need to rekindle the idea of holiness, because holiness means different, and God has made us different. God has set us aside. God has called us for a purpose to serve God in our world. And our attitude to nature to the nature that we see around us has been spared, has been bad, especially in a society that's technological. And we need to rekindle our understanding of God's nature, because it's been used, it's been dominated, it has been exploited. And we need to rekindle our reverence for God's place in nature. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. With these thoughts, let's just stop for a few moments. Let's remain seated, as I sometimes do at this point in the service, and let's sing a song together. I'm going to sing number 672. There is a name I love to hear, number 672. And let's remain seated as we do so. Thoughts from Psalm number 11 as we approach our time of communion together. Psalmist goes on to tell us that in verse 5, the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. When I read that and thought about it, I said to myself, can God actually hate someone? But this is an example of the psalmist being honest. The psalmist saying or praying or singing, as in the case of many of the psalms, what he or she felt. Personally, I had problems with this idea of God hating someone. I could imagine God hating the actions of people. Maybe that's what the psalmist means. But it tells that God hates the wicked. We don't like thinking that God hates people. The psalmist is honest. The psalmist is very, very honest about his feelings. And that shines out of the psalm, the honesty of the psalmist. That's what struck me in recent weeks during my study of the psalms. The psalmist makes claims in terms which shock us and make us wonder. God hates the violent act. God hates at least what people do. He hates the violent and evil actions of men and women. So we recognize in these shocking statements that the psalmist is honest, honest to God. And that's how strong the psalmist's faith is. But what we find as we read on in Psalm 11 into verse 6 and verse 7, we learn that there's such a thing as judgment. And I have no doubt that one day I will stand before God and answer for what I've done or have not done. The things I've done that I shouldn't have done, and the things I haven't done that I should have done. I've no doubt I'll answer for that. But I'm confident in faith, and as we approach the communion, I can say this, that I'm confident in faith that I stand under God's grace and God's love, not because of what I've done or haven't done, but because of what Christ has done. And in a sense, we see God's judgment poured out on Christ. And this is what we remember and celebrate in communion together. So as we approach the communion table, we remember Christ's death. We also remember the fact that God loves us, forgives us, and accepts us. But we must respond to that. We must respond to that. God's judgment will take place. No one can escape it. But in this world, we realize that we live under God's grace. God's love. God loves us so much that we see God revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. In a world where there is injustice and wrongdoing, where people are put into prison, sometimes for crimes they haven't committed, God is present. There is no need to flee like a bird to the mountain. We remain in the holy place with God. And as we approach our time of communion, we remember these things.